Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
I promise you, we didn't plan it this way. That was not the theme. The theme was not to look at everything that's going wrong in the country. But I have some really bad news. Okay, so we have about 150 million rand that different provinces in the Department of Education, so the Department of Education in different provinces, wait for it, did not spend 150 million rand. I cannot take it in. We constantly are told about where the money is not available to eradicate, for number one, the pit toilets. We know that it's been an issue. One of the provinces that could not spend its money, 33.2 million rand, is Limpopo. Huh? They couldn't spend that money. And every time you speak to some of these provinces and in the Department of Education in these provinces, they tell you there is no money. They're not the only ones. We'll go through the list, but it really is disheartening. I wanted to ask Equal Education, you know, what they made of these numbers, because they are frightening and maybe we're overreacting. But Sam Benyon is on the line with us, who's the Equal Education researcher. Sam, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. Good evening.
Hi, evening to you and the listeners. Thank you so much for having us.
Gosh, Sam, are the numbers as frightening as I seem to feel? 150 million rand not spent by provinces in the departments of education in the various provinces.
Yes, I believe they are. I mean, we have for a long time monitored and tracked expenditure trends by both DBE and provincial education departments for quite some time. And the fact of the matter is that under expenditure is actually a year-on-year end challenge. Mm. And so what we refer to as chronic underspending, right? Mm. And I think, you know, before we even perhaps get into some of the reasons why and the impact, you mentioned something quite important in your introduction, in that in most instances, our departments are seeking more funds, mm-hmm. right? So there's this argument to say that we're under-resourced. Mm-hmm. And of course, as Equal Education, we support that argument, especially when we consider real per-learning spending, and the reduction thereof over the past, you know, 5 to 10 years, when we think of things like austerity and budget cuts. So we support that argument, but I think where the challenge then comes in is when advocating for more resources, how do you do that mm-hmm. when you know that mm-hmm. you are returning mm-hmm. so much money mm. back to the fiscus on a year-on-year end basis. And I think it's deeply frightening and concerning, not just necessarily for us as analysts and commentators or even in the media, but I think most importantly for the learners and what this means for their everyday lived personal and shared experience on the ground.
So when you engage with some of the different departments in various provinces, their argument would always be, look, we understand that the outrage, but you must also understand that within the budget, there is money that is ring-fenced for X, for instance, infrastructure, and we cannot take that money and use it for something else, and you know the process of procuring, blah, 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 the story goes. Mm-hmm. However, I am struck by, even as we look at that argument and then want to apply it here, I cannot see how we are, as you said, it's year on year, and we don't seem to catch up with whatever it is that we couldn't deal with last year in dealing with procurement, for instance, so that the following year we get it right and we get it in on time and all of that accounting is done on time. I'm not sure what the problem is there.
Yeah, I mean, I only chuckled, not necessarily because it's funny, but because it's a laughable argument, right? Yeah. We know what the systemic reasons are, what the problems are in our PEDs and in DBE, right? Things like poor planning, poor financial management, the inappropriate timing of funding disbursements. I mean, you see, for example, fiscal dumping, where in some instances departments don't spend for the first 9 months of the financial year, only to attempt to spend as much as possible in the last quarter. we see a lack of technical capacity to spend funds, poor contract management. I mean, you speak about infrastructure. I think, I mean, even just looking at that particular question, as well as, you know, the delivery of nutrition, scholar transport, all of these items, good services meant to be, these funds, you know, are specifically purposed for, you know, paying implementing agents, contractors, subcontractors, professional service providers, far beyond, you know, the 30-day prescript of, you know, your PMFA, poor consequence management, and I think, quite frankly, poor oversight by the different accountability actors in the system, right? So I think it would be disingenuous, you know, for that to simply be the argument of these departments without acknowledging what are the real systemic issues. And is there will to address those issues, right? I mean, it should alarm you as a senior public official, as well as a senior public representative meant to oversight, not necessarily interfere, but oversight the performance of departments. It should keep you awake at night to know that there are learners who are not able to get to and from school because scholar transport has been stopped due to late payments, right? The funds are there, but you're not dispersing them in time. And that's just one example of many. So I think those are some of the systemic issues that we need to really focus on and work hard to address so that this doesn't become, you know, a continued pattern in the future.
So I mean, I can go on. The National Nutrition Program is highlighted here. Wasn't it just earlier on in the year where a province could not feed its children until we uncovered that it's a tender irregularity? You know, there's bickering about money there, not because the money doesn't exist, but because people are fighting for a tender. We often only get alarmed, or the principals get alarmed, when there is either a whistleblower or there's a blow up in the media. But these kinds of reports, I mean, these are readily available for everybody. And you will find that, you know, things just carry on like normal. As you said, it's a year-on-year problem. I'm trying to see whether, in your engagement, for instance, with government, is there a genuine need, or at least a reflection on how to improve this, especially with the things that you've highlighted, you know, management and systems controls and all of those things? Is there a genuine sense of we've got to get this right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be disingenuous on our part to say, for example, that there are no public officials who have any, you know, sense of urgency or will to try and fix the problems. But I think equally, you know, and just, you know, in following, for example, the Madlanga Commission developments amongst many, right? I mean, you spoke about tender-related issues in KZN earlier on in the year. And there's so many other examples. I think equally we have to acknowledge that there is a system failure, right? And the question around political will, right, and to correct, institute corrective measures in instances of wrongdoing is really important, but equally develop and build, you know, this institutional culture of preventative measures as well, right? And I think, again, it comes down to the question of consequence management, my sister. It can't be that where there is underperformance, it's not necessarily always about corruption or the misuse of funds, right? Even on the question of just underperformance, why are officials not being held accountable for that? Why are accounting officers not enforcing consequence management in that event? Because at the end of the day, you as a public official still collect your salary come month end, but learners continue to suffer on the ground without the goods and services that fundamentally they actually have a right to, right? So we know that we live in a constitutional democracy. We know that the right to education is immediately realizable. It's not a progressively realizable right. And so even if it's just a single day where there is disruption to scholar transport, there's disruption to the delivery of nutritious meals to hungry learners, that should call for some kind of accountability in the system. And I think that that's something that as a collective, you know, in society, we have to have a deep, honest conversation with ourselves about, but more so when it comes to the public service and whether public servants are being held accountable for their underperformance.
I just want us to maybe contextualize it. When you look at the number, 150 million, okay, well, I think the Western Cape is the only province that spent 100% of their conditional grant funding. Gauteng, for instance, returned 20 million back. When you look at the number collectively, is it the kind of number that if this money had been used, and I want to emphasize effectively, you know, not siphoned or any other funny other business going on there, would there have been some tangible difference? Would we have really seen the impact on the ground?
Yes, I believe so. I think any type of resource allocation that is purposed for meeting needs of learners on the ground has some kind of, you know, positive impact. As you say, of course, you know, if it's delivered with, within budget, on time, delivered in a transparent way as well, right? Funds are spent in a transparent way and used for the goods that they've been purposed for. Yes, of course. I mean, just, I mean, I'll repeat it again. Just this idea that there is money allocated, for example, for transport for learners who have to walk kilometers on end to get to and from school. The fact that there is money in the system available for that, but it's not being utilized for that purpose, means that those learners miss out on valuable learning time, right? And that has a significant impact on the rest of their academic journey. And so I think, yes, had this money been used, of course, there would be some kind of tangible positive impact in the lives of these learners. I think it's also just important to highlight that often the argument is made to say, well, there is a mechanism for provinces or the DBE to apply for rollover of funds. But you would have noted from the article that, you know, this discussion is referenced from, that those requests are not always granted by the relevant treasury, right? Because one of the fundamental arguments is you must demonstrate your ability to be able to spend funds in the next year that you haven't managed to spend in this current financial year. And often the consequence is that if Treasury feels that a particular province doesn't demonstrate that ability, it then moves those funds elsewhere. And that is very concerning because already we speak about how education is under-resourced, right? And our provinces are poorer provinces where we have a higher volume of more vulnerable learners who desperately need those resources now suffer because already there are budget constraints and now those are deepened and worsened as a result of you not being able to spend or at least demonstrate some kind of ability or sound argument or presentation to Treasury to say, we couldn't do this yet, but we've improved our planning for the forthcoming year. We'll be able to do it so that learners are serviced on the ground.
Sure.
So, something also to really consider.
Yeah. Well, a lot to think about. Thank you so much. Really, thank you so much for breaking it down for us. That's Equal Education Researcher Sam Bain. And 150 million that schools, education departments in various provinces have not spent. I think it's quite disheartening. As I was saying earlier, you know, love to hear from you. 086-000-0959 and 063-688-0959. You can send me those voice notes there. And let me hear your take on this, because do we not hear every single day our politicians telling us we don't have enough money, you know, that the budgets have been cut, you know, that the resources have been curtailed and. But here we are, 150 million rand that was not spent by the various provinces in the Department of Education.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.